Welcome to another edition of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Berit Hadashah Ministries is dedicated in its twofold mission of one, preaching, teaching, and proclaiming the whole counsel of God from the Word of God accurately, truthfully, and in context, from Genesis to Revelation, and secondly, following the Great Commission and the divine order laid out for the Great Commission, taking the gospel to the Jew first, primarily in the land of Israel, and then to the Gentiles. And we are glad that you can listen to these biblical teachings on the internet via MP3 recording. And again, we also have a free newsletter called Search the Scriptures, a free bi-monthly newsletter that has Bible teaching, articles from various Bible teachers, and also continual accounts of our Jewish evangelism in Israel. And we are currently in our teaching series called The Great Doctrines of the Bible. The last time we were with you, we looked at the sinlessness of Messiah and how Scripture affirms the sinless Christ. We have laid, I think, a good foundation showing you that the Bible unanimously and unequivocally teaches the impeccability of Messiah Jesus. That is, that the Messiah would be sinless in his life and person. And before we close our study on Christology, the doctrine and the study of Christ or Messiah in the Bible, since Messiah is the crowning jewel of biblical revelation, let us look at the mediatorship of Messiah Jesus, the fact that he would be our perfect representative before God. He would represent humanity by being the Son of Man. Jesus was a man of flesh and blood without sin, but also at the same time representing God before man. Jesus was God. He existed as the second person of the divine Godhead that is triune, that is three persons, it's made up of three persons. He existed as God the Son in eternity past. He was God before, he existed as God before he became a man. So this allows him to represent God before men and man before God in his person, since he is the God-man. And as the representative of a new humanity, he is the mediator for sinners. He is the mediator for sinners. A good portion of the New Testament, particularly in the pastoral epistles, the book of Hebrews, and the general epistles, we have considerable time devoted by the inspired writers of the New Testament, devoted to Jesus the Messiah as our priestly mediator, as the God-man. And of course, this is not a new truth that just sprung up in a theological vacuum. No, the mediatorship of Messiah was prefigured, typified, and symbolized, shadowed forth in the Old Covenant Scriptures, in the Old Testament. We see it particularly in the desire and yearning for Job. In his situation, Job was under satanic attack, and he wanted someone who knew his situation perfectly to represent him before the legal bar of God. And that is why in Job 16:21, Job pleads for a mediator. He says, "Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleads for his neighbor." In other words, Job wanted a defense attorney, a mediator, to legally represent him in the court of God so that his case could be settled and Job would be declared vindicated and innocent. Of course, this foreshadows what God did for sinners. Jesus is our legal advocate, our mediator, And through him, God has provided the Lord Jesus Christ to represent us before the judgment bar of God. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And in 1 John 2:1, we read that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, that is a defense attorney, a mediator, a legal mediator, Jesus Christ the righteous. So Job's prayer offered in the book of Job, chapter 16, verse 21, has been answered in the Messiah. Again, Job requests in chapter 9, we find another request for a mediator. Job says here, he says concerning God, "For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both." So Job again is calling for a legal mediator, a lawyer, if you will, who sees both sides clearly, knows the source of this disagreement, and finds a quick resolution reconciling the matter. Job was asking for someone to arbitrate so that God's rod of justice or punishment, so he thought, could be removed. And we know that the Lord Jesus is that arbiter. He is that mediator. He is the one who reasons, reproves, and decides and acts as that mediator between two parties. Job's cry really was the cry for the Messiah to come as the mediator between God and man. And when Jesus does mediate, it is not one that is a compromise of God's law. Is one that winks at God's wrath vented upon disobedience and violation of his law. No, God does not forgive at the expense of his holiness. God does not forgive at the expense of not punishing sin. If God were to do that, that would not be legally right. It would not be just. Those who break the law are guilty, and they will pay the penalty for it. So the question of the mediatorship of Christ is not one in which God's holiness and his punishment for sin is removed or frustrated. I'm trying to find the precise word here. The mediatorship of Jesus the Messiah for sinful man is not one in which the holiness of God is ignored, removed, or compromised. Nor is it a mediatorship in which God's punishment for sin is removed or is not meted out. That would not be justice if criminality, evil, and lawless behavior were forgiven without justice being paid. The mediatorship of Messiah does uphold the holiness of God and does require God's full punitive wrath for disobedience and sin committed. And the mediatorship of Christ took care of both. For at the cross, the Lord Jesus bore God's punishment for our sins upon himself. And at the same time, Jesus' perfect righteousness is given to the sinner. And Jesus is able to be this God-man mediator because he was perfect and holy, and as God, infinitely paid the penalty for our sins, which sin calls for. When you sin against a being of infinitude, there necessarily has to be in return, commensurate with that sin against an infinite being, an infinite penalty meted out. That's why people who deny hell are in error. They do not take proper account of the severity of sin against God. When you sin against an infinite being, then that calls for an infinite punishment. because when you break God's law, you are breaking His eternal law. I hope this makes sense to you. And so that's why only God in human form could make an infinite sacrifice, giving an infinite payment for sin by taking that punishment upon Himself, so that the sinner then could be forgiven, acquitted of the punishment of his sins, because someone who has the power, someone who is perfect, and someone who has the infinite ability to make that infinite sacrifice for sin did so. And that's what Jesus did on the cross as our great mediator. And my friend, that is good news indeed. We said that the mediator, the priestly mediatorship of Messiah, was indeed typified and foreshadowed under the Berit Hashanah and the Aaronic Kohanim, the priests of Aaron. Yes, it was. And first, Moses was a mediator. He was the mediator of the Old Covenant law between God and Israel. We know that when God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Moses was acting as God's mediator of the law. When God spoke to Moses directly, giving him the 613 commandments of Torah, Moses then gave that or spoke that to Israel. He recorded it for Israel in the Torah. And we know this by such passages as Deuteronomy 5, 129 with Galatians 3, 19. Moses was in Mount Sinai, and when he brought the law before the people of Israel, he was standing between God and the nation as the mediator who received the law and then gave that law to the chosen people. Now, when the Mishkan, or the tabernacle, was constructed, and the sacrificial system for the Old Covenant was given, it was done with the intent of God providing a priestly mediator who would stand between Israel and the children of Israel. Sacrifice or blood atonement was required so that God and man could fellowship and the problem of sin could then be dealt with. But the only way that the people could approach God was through the sacrifices of the high priest and Levitical priests. There was no other way to God but through the mediatorship of the high priest and Levitical priests. And so God instructed Moses to take his brother Aaron and his house and consecrate him as the office of high priest and the subordinate priests attending from the tribe of Levi. When Aaron became the high priest, he also became the mediator in Israel. All Israel had to approach God through the anointed and appointed high priest. This culminated every year in Yom Kippur, Leviticus 16 and Leviticus 23. Leviticus chapter 16 and 23, the high priest. Once a year would go into the Mishkan, or the tabernacle, and then later in the two temples that stood, and he would offer the sacrifice God required and the shedding of the blood from that animal sacrifice to cover for Israel's sins. Anyone who tried to go around the divinely appointed priesthood of Aaron and the Levites was then to bring divine judgment down upon themselves. Korah and his band of rebels rejected the leadership of Moses and Aaron, and they were struck down for it. Even Aaron's own sons, Nadab and Abihu, foolishly thought to worship God their own way by offering incense that was not the incense God required, and they were struck down for their false worship. And so we have to approach God according to the way He has established, the pattern He has given. And where do we find that? In the Word of God, not in the opinions of men, not in any other religion that makes me feel good or that I prefer. No, we are to come to God by way of His revelation given in Scripture. And in the Old Covenant, they were to approach God through the priest, the high priest, and the Levitical priests. Remember when the high priest went in, starting with Aaron, he was the first high priest of Israel. He carried 12 stones on the breastplate. The 12 stones represent the 12 tribes of Israel before God. And this pointed to the perfect heavenly high priesthood mediatorial ministry of Jesus the Messiah as the sole priest after the order of Melchizedek. The book of Hebrews, that's one main theme. It shows how Jesus the Messiah is one greater than Moses and Aaron because of his permanent, perfect, and eternal priesthood. A priesthood, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, which is after the order of Melchizedek. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that that priesthood is untransferable. No other body or group of religious people can claim that they are priests after the order of Melchizedek because there's only one who follows in that order, and that would be Yeshua. So when the Mormons claim that they have a special priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, or when a man is ordained a Roman Catholic priest and they recite that quotation from Hebrews claiming they are being priests ordained after the order of Melchizedek, both groups are in error, patent error, because the priesthood that Jesus has after the order of Melchizedek, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, is untransferable. That priesthood belongs to Yeshua alone as our one unique Savior and priestly mediator. Nothing could be clearer from the Word on that. Now, moving into the New Testament revelation, building on the Old Testament type and shadow of the priestly mediator, the New Testament gives us a full revelation in the person of Jesus the Messiah. Jesus' high priestly ministry and his sacrifice of himself and the shedding of his blood typifies and fulfills the old covenant sacrificial system. The word mediator is one who goes between two, usually two hostile parties. And why did God need a mediator? Because he sinned. He sinned, and there needed to be payment for the sin. Just as we break laws, minor laws or major laws, there must be a penalty imposed in order to restore the integrity of the law and uphold its righteousness. So how much more the law of God? When we break the law of God, we separate ourselves from God. And we cannot make payment because the payment is infinite. Because sin against an infinite being calls for infinite punishment in return. Hence the existence of hell for those who reject God's payment for their sins through Jesus. They will pay for their sins forever. But with Jesus, he came as our new covenant mediator. The Bible promised in Jeremiah 31:31-34, that God would first make a new covenant with the house of Israel, wherein he will permanently remove their sins and establish a permanent one-on-one relationship with each one. And this is what Jesus did by the shedding of his blood on the cross, a perfect life lived, a perfect and infinite sacrifice given. Hallelujah. So the word mediator means that Jesus is our go-between, and through his atoning death, the enmity that God has for our sins and the fallen enmity we have against God, which is wrong, is removed. The word mediator is used several times in the New Testament, primarily in the epistles. And each time they refer to Jesus, the Son of God. 1 Timothy 2:5 clearly states, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Now we get in trouble here, especially with the Church of Rome. They believe that Mary and the saints, but Mary after Jesus is the mediatress, co-mediatress with her son Jesus. Is that scriptural? Well, no, not in light of what 1 Timothy 2:5 says. Now, the Catholic apologist will quickly say, well, we don't define mediator in the way Paul means here. We simply mean one who just prays for us. Any one of us can be a mediator by praying for that person before God, and that is the role that Mary does as well. She's a mediator. Well, that is semantic nonsense, because there is a difference between being a mediator between man and God and being an intercessor. An intercessor is one who prays with you and for you. He does not have the power or the qualifications to be your single mediator. There's only one in that role. Everybody else is an intercessor, not a mediator. So when they call Mary mediatrice, they are violating the very meaning and word for it in the New Testament. And the whole idea of the dead praying for the living is not given in the Word of God. It's not scriptural. Well, it's not found in Scripture. We simply don't know exactly what the departed spirits in heaven are doing or if they're praying for us. They are praying for God's justice, we learn from Revelation 5. But as far as asking them to pray for us, that is not scriptural. That violates God's law prohibiting us from communicating with the dead in any way. But there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. For he alone is qualified both in his person and his work. In Hebrews 8:6 and 9:15, Jesus the Messiah is called the mediator of the new covenant. So in that sense, we only have one mediator. If you pray for me, or if I pray for you, we are not being mediators. We are not go-betweens between us and God. We are intercessors. We're praying along with you. We're not standing in place for you before God, representing you. That unique role belongs to Jesus, not to Mary, not to the saints, but to Jesus alone. When we pray, we come. Hebrews 12:24 declares that we are to come to Jesus. Not Mary, not the saints, not to your priest. We come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. The Greek word for mediator is mesites, and it's translated mediator. It literally means a go-between. A go-between. One whose intercession and representation between two hostile parties brings peace and reconciliation. A mediator is the middleman. One that goes between two parties for the purpose of reconciling them. So Jesus the Messiah is the go-between, the middleman between God and man. And through his intercession, through his mediatorship, reconciliation with God is accomplished. Reconciliation with God is accomplished. Jesus as the new covenant mediator infinitely is superior and far surpasses the old covenant mediators, for they were types and earthly shadows of the heavenly reality. Again, Hebrews 8:9 tell us this. First of all, how is the mediatorship of Jesus the Messiah superior? Well, first of all, Jesus is God. Aaron and the Levitical priests that came from his family line were mere mortals, sinful men, and they themselves had to make atonement for their own sins in the tabernacle and later in the two temples that stood in Jerusalem. Jesus was God, and therefore he was holy and morally perfect. And that brings us to another facet of his new covenant mediatorship that's far superior to the old. He was sinless. Jesus was a sinless mediator. This stands in contrast to Moses, Aaron, and the high priests and Levitical priests who came after. All of them were sinful and needed redemption from sin themselves. They needed an atoning sacrifice. And the law provided on the Day of Atonement, as well as with the daily sacrifices, a blood atonement for the high priest and the priest. Not so with Jesus, our great heavenly high priest. He needed no redemption because he is sinless. He is our sinless heavenly high priest. And because of this, he is far superior to any old covenant mediator. That's why when the Jewish people rebuild the third temple and restore the high priesthood, God will not recognize it legitimately as the valid way of taking away sin. He'll allow it to happen to fulfill his word, but we know that Jesus, the Messiah, came, and by his perfect sacrifice alone, he provides atonement from sin. Hallelujah. Yes, he does. So there remains no more sacrifice for sin, because Jesus has atoned for our sins as our perfect and sinless mediator between God and man. And we praise him for that. So the new covenant is a permanent covenant that replaces the old. That replaces the old. Jesus is sinless, as he is a sinless mediator. And Jesus was not only sinless, he was also a perfectly human mediator, because he is a divine human person. Jesus is mediator for sinners in the truest sense of that word, because both sinful man and a holy God need to be reconciled. Therefore, Jesus, in the role of divine human mediator, must be able to fully identify with both parties to effectively mediate a resolution between them. If Jesus is to be a perfect mediator between a holy God and sinful man, he must, therefore, have the nature of God and the nature of man, without sin, of course, to fully understand both and to effect the reconciliation between them. That's why the Moses and Aaron and the high priests and Levitical priests that came, that followed after him, they could never do this fully, because they only had a human nature, and that nature was sinful. For the same reason, no priest in the Old Testament could ever be a perfect mediator. This brings us to the reality of Jesus the Messiah as the Anthropos, the God-man. Jesus is God, having the nature of God, thus identifying with God and his absolute holiness and moral perfection. If Jesus was not sinless, then he could not be the perfect sacrifice. Jesus was God, but he also became man. Taking at the incarnation, he took sinless humanity upon himself and was thus able to identify with human beings. So here we have the union of the divine and human natures in the one person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This alone qualifies him to be a perfect mediator between God and man. And so we have a perfect God-man, divine human mediator. The writer of Hebrews states in Hebrews 2:17 concerning this, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Having divine nature, Jesus was faithful to God, and having a human nature, he was able to be merciful to man. And again, let me say that this mercy and forgiveness shown by God through the perfect sacrifice of the God-man mediator, Jesus, was not done at the expense of obedience to God. It was not done at the expense of subverting the just penalty meted out for breaking God's law. Sin had to be dealt with in a manner that would uphold God's holiness and vindicate his righteousness. That called for Jesus taking the place of a sinner and paying the penalty for those sins as the sinner's innocent, righteous substitute. Only then could God's mercy and grace be extended to man in bringing about the reconciliation that saves. And so when Jesus did this, as the perfect God-man mediator, Job's cry for an arbiter, a mediator, to lay his hands upon us both finds perfect fulfillment. And today, sinner, if you are out there unsure that your sins are forgiven, unsure that you are in right standing with God, if you have not accepted what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary's cross by dying to pay the penalty for your sins and giving you His righteousness, and then being raised from the dead to give you eternal life, you are lost, and the punishment of your sins are still upon you. That can change when you believe that Jesus did these things for you, and that is the gospel. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, the scripture says, and you shall be saved. Hallelujah. You shall be saved. Praise the Lord. And that's what the Lord Jesus did when He came in fulfillment of the new covenant, praise the Lord, whereby our sins are permanently removed and washed away by His precious blood shed on Calvary's cross. Well, I see I'm out of time this time. Until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.